Hello, Tallahassee. Hello, world. Welcome to another edition of What Matters Most to You. I'm your host, the one and only Vincent T. Edwards, better known as Mr. Speaker. Please take time, check us out on the internet at VincentTEdwards.com. That's VincentTEdwards.com. There you can find all the information about the radio show and everything else. If you'd like to join today's show, the call-in line is 850-671-1450. It's 850-671-1450. 1450. My guest today in the studio is my legal expert, and we're going to be talking about a very, very touchy subject this morning or this afternoon. He's Stephen Knight. He's the chief attorney at the Knight Law Firm, and he's my legal expert here on the show and a good friend of mine. And so I bring him in from time to time. I try to get him here at least once a month, but he's such a busy attorney that he has so much going on. But today we're going to be talking about Black Lives Matter and what's actually occurring in our country right now, the shooting incidents, and then even on last night. But like always, Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, you are the creator of all. You are the Most High God. You are holy. You are Father. You are Abba, Daddy God. And I come before you just to give you praise and honor you for who you are, and that you are a holy, a righteous, and just God. Now, Lord, I come before thee right now just asking that you place your hand upon our nation, all that's going on right now, Lord, all the families that have lost loved ones in the tragic shootings that have occurred in the past week. God, be with them right now. Touch and heal their wounds and their hearts. Comfort them, Lord. Let them know that you are there and that you will be able to help them in this time of need. Lord, I just pray for our leaders. Lead them by thine Holy Spirit to help rectify this situation. But most importantly, Lord, let your people come together and call upon you, Lord, call upon your name, for you are the one who can change things. You are the one who can heal this land. Father, we are in need of a touch from you, a word from you. We are needing a manifestation of your spirit and your presence right now to heal this land. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Our scripture today comes from the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 7. Verse 14, and it reads, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." Attorney Knight, welcome to the show today. How you doing?
Oh, fine. Thank you, Vincent. Appreciate being here.
What's been going on since the last time we talked? I know you've been busy, man.
Well, obviously, a lot's been going on, and in all honesty, I had a different topic to discuss today, but I think after the events of last night, then, you know, I really feel that so much has happened, and obviously, it will continue to happen in the same vein, that it's a topic that we need to keep up the discussion on, as far as Black Lives Matter, and what's going on with the whole system of what the police are doing at this time.
So what's, give me your overview of what's happening right now.
I mean, everybody knows the situation. We've got, you know, 30 cases we can almost name offhand in the last 3-4 years that have happened as far as black police officers. Police officers shooting and killing predominantly black males. And I think what's happened, especially in light of last night,
In Dallas,
where I think it was 5 police officers were shot and killed, and several others injured. And they're still waiting to see if there's any more will die from the injuries. But it's shocking, you know, but it's almost what we feared would happen, you know. And I think the main thing, especially from the legal perspective, is that we've reached a situation now where, again, you know, there have been 30 shootings in the last few years. You can name 10 in the last couple of years at least. And not one single officer. Now, we've left it up to the legal system. And, you know, there have been some indictments. And I'll have to clarify, I think I did it last time, but the problem is that even when you have the indictment, the prosecutors have the responsibility of presenting the evidence. So some cases don't even, they indict them, but the prosecutors present the evidence. So if they just present half of the evidence or really aren't as zealous as they are with other cases, they can almost ensure that a jury just hears enough information that they're not ready to indict the person. And even when you get the indictment, from what I've seen, the prosecutors have not been zealous, especially when they have a black person. If a black person shoots a white person, they're more zealous as far as prosecuting them. But when it's an officer, they're not really going all out for the officer. So what's presented to the jury again, and what's counterattacked from whatever the defense attorney says, is very limited. And again, these juries are coming back with not guilty verdicts. And some of it, point blank, I mean, I don't know the racial makeup of some of these juries, but some of it, I guarantee you that most of those juries came in, well, as an officer protecting himself, so they had a predisposition. So I think the frustration now is that after all these murders, and I'll call them murders, shootings, killings, and murders from police officers to black males, we don't have one single officer serving time. And these people's lives have been snuffed out, and these families are affected. And, you know, in the last incident, he had five children that he was helping to support. And that's what's, you know, there's obviously protests. There have been some riots. But people are getting frustrated.
So what's it going to take to bring some type of resolution to this? Is it, do you feel that people are beginning to not trust law enforcement, feeling that they themselves are above the law?
Well, this is obviously the main problem, and I'm not condoning the shooting that happened.
No, by no means do I condone taking a life.
Especially just randomly like this. It was not like, you know, this was a retaliation or something like that. I mean, that's not condoned either, but this is just really just out of the blue. You have no idea they're shooting some possibly good officers. None of these officers that we know of were ever implicated in any situation where they were shooting black males. However, the real solution to me is still some of it in the legal system, because we are, and of course it has to start at the police officer, the training. And you know, the fact that, of course, we have to put something in place where, first of all, foremost, once a police officer shoots an individual, especially in this case, of course, a black male, it shouldn't immediately go to independent counsel. You can't have the police policing themselves or the local state's attorney, because they're honestly just part of almost a branch of the police system themselves. It starts with the police and goes straight to the state's attorney. So there will be nothing independent and nothing objective about their review. So it should be at least a federal prosecutor. I think it's at the level now where they need almost a separate department for that. And in reality, a department made sure that the department is reflective of the population. And, you know, to me, some at least black attorneys that have been almost on both sides of the equation, if they're prosecutors anyway, that kind of understand what's going on and are going to, within the purview of the law, zealously prosecute and not these, you know, half prosecutions, as I would call them.
So what I'm hearing is a large part of the problem is in the legal system itself and how things are being handled.
Absolutely. Because if I'm an officer and I feel I can shoot somebody, I might have a little trial, a little something like that, get administrative leave, so I'm paid to do no work. I'm not going to think as hard on shooting and killing somebody as if I knew where I might be looking at. Of course, losing the job completely first, and then 10, 15, 20 years, or life. I mean, some of them should be life, and some of it should be a capital offense. This case in point, I mean, you know, they did nothing to de-escalate the situation. They escalated it, even if they tased him first. The recent shooting in Minneapolis. Yes. And, I mean, it's obvious that he had, the police never exercised the options. And what's amazing to me is I don't see them doing this with white folks. They find police ways to de-escalate. The taser doesn't work, then they overpower them. In this case, even if they just shot him in the hand, You know, it's immediately to the heart or to the head in many of these instances. So if there's no fear that they're ever going to prison, then there's less likelihood that they're going to think twice about shooting and killing somebody, especially black males.
Why, in your opinion, does it appear to be more aggression towards black males than anybody else in the population?
Well, I mean, obviously,
do we have as black people, do we bear some of the brunt of that?
First of all, you can never generalize and say we bear the brunt of that. There is no statistic.
I'm asking a question.
Yeah, I'm saying there's no statistic that shows that blacks commit crimes more than whites. The statistics will show that we're charged more than whites. And you have cases where you have a black person that's stopped by the police and he might have drugs on him while a white person, you know, is walking by with 10 times that amount. So it obviously goes back to the history of this country and the preconceptions, conscious or subconscious, that whites have of blacks. And, again, back to the notion that he knows if he shot a white person, there'd be a lot more, especially a white female, there'd be a lot more repercussions than if he shot a black person. You know, so I think the mentality is that, and they're viewing us less of human beings.
That's what I'm about to ask. Do you feel that blacks are viewed, you know, what was it back in the day of the Constitution, less than?
a third of a person,
right.
Yes.
So
yes.
Do you still feel that exists in some form or fashion today where blacks are just considered less than a human being?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think they consider less of a human being and more so there's going to be less penalty if they do something.
You're listening to What Matters Most to You. My guest is attorney Stephen Knight of the Knight Law Firm. He specializes in personal injury, criminal defense, and family law. And today we are talking about Black Lives Matter. What can we do to show that our lives are valuable, that we... Mm-hmm. contribute, that we are human beings and not less than a human being?
Well, first thing, we have to start the conversation, and it's been going for a while.
But we've been having so many conversations, so many dialogues, so many conferences, so many meetings, yet so many lives have been lost.
And that's an excellent point. What we need to do, which I have emphasized before, then we need, as I said before, much of this is the system that we're under. So we need to change the system. And to change that system, we need to have elected officials that are going to do that. So first and foremost, if we're not out there voting, if we're not part of making sure that we're involved in the process of who's selecting the police, you know, the police chief, who's running for state's attorney's office, that's very important. You know, who's running for sheriff. If we're not putting the people in there and insisting on certain training, then we also become part of the problem. And I think that's one of the best solution is that if we're voting and we make sure that we're voting in people that are going to address these matters and some of them can empathize with these matters, I think that makes a big difference. And I will say in Dallas, the irony of it is that the police chief, his son shot a police officer. His son was involved in a shootout in a situation such as this. And I haven't, you know, I don't know all the details. I've never read everything about the police department. But from my understanding, they have a sensitivity program. They have, you know, I haven't heard anything out of Dallas period. So he said he's prided himself in setting up a system where they're more involved in the community. The police officers, understand and if they can't sympathize, empathize, but they sympathize with the situation of their community. And they're part of the community. And if you have somebody at the head who, you know, especially he's got a black son who's or relatives that he knows could be walking down the street and confronted with police officers. So he's going to make sure those officers are trained properly, understand what they should and should not do, and don't abuse their power. I think that was one of the first things that helped to solve the situation.
So some officer training. But now I want to ask you
an election.
Question.
No, the key is electing the right people.
Electing the right
yes.
people and then
training. Proper training, yes.
I want to ask you a question and get your legal opinion here on what can actually be done. I mean, talking with my son in this incident, and the last one where the young, it was streaming live, And it, you know, all the evidence is not in and everything, but from what could be gathered, my son said, you know, Dad, I mean, what am I supposed to do if I comply? Because he's saying he informed what was going on. He followed their instructions to the T based upon what was shown. I don't have all the evidence, but he still got shot four times. He's like, Dad, if I comply, I get shot. If I don't comply, I get shot. What do I do?
Obviously, that's a difficult question because each situation is different. I'll admit, in this situation, from the video I saw, he didn't fully comply immediately. But he had every right not to. I mean, they rolled up on him and, you know, just told him to get on the ground. There's no, you know, not saying, you know, at least they didn't assess the situation. They immediately rolled up, and I, you know, they didn't see a gun in his hand or anything like that to escalate the situation to what it is. I mean, obviously, as parents, we still have to tell our sons or daughters, or whomever is confronted with police, to try to comply as much as possible. Obviously, there's a better chance of a better outcome. There are times when you can assert your rights, you know, and you do need to do that. But obviously, if the officer has a gun pulled, that's not the situation. And that goes back to the training, that there's no way an officer should have a gun pulled immediately unless he sees, you know, a gun out there, even though somebody claimed a gun was waving or whatever it is. But they came to the situation. There's no gun. A gun should never be pulled unless you see a weapon first. You know, or, you know, have some, I wouldn't even say reasonable suspicion because that's a low standard. But to me, you have to have know that somebody was shot before, some incidents of violence before, or a gun pulled. But you still, unfortunately, you have to tell them to comply as best as you can to the officer, and then hope, you know, you make sure, hopefully somebody's videotaping it and assert your rights afterwards. But, you know, it's not in the best interest to, at least, especially if a gun's pulled, to resist.
So do you think now with the advent of social media, I mean, which was on the rise already, but now with the ease of live streaming, where do you see that going? Every time something goes on, is something going to be streamed live? Should you carry your phone with you if an officer stops you to videotape it? Because are they all wearing body cams now? Can everything be video? Is it now in the hands of the citizen to make sure that there's evidence on record?
Absolutely. I just told my son after this shooting, I said, anytime an officer stops you, just start the video. Yeah, at least if nothing else, you get audio from it, you know, if it's not a right angle, but you got every confrontation. They're doing this even when they know video is running, but at least you've got the evidence and the proof, you know. And again, this is nothing new. I mean, this has been going on, you know, ever since we had black males walking around and police officers. It's just now it's documented for the first time on a consistent basis.
Where do you see this leading to if nothing is done?
I mean, more honestly, more of what we saw last night. I think it could give now the police officers more reason to escalate what they're doing.
That's where I'm going. I mean, I don't condone it at all. So now citizens have escalated the situation, and so now officers are on a more heightened state of awareness. So do you think it's kind of like in an argument. One person gets loud, the other person gets loud, and you keep raising your voices, and it keeps escalating.
Well, this was a unique response, though. This is different, because for the police to argue, well, now we have to. In fact, the police chief said they did everything they could as far as heavy armor, police, things like that. This was a demonstration. This is not a situation where a cop, you know, stopped somebody and he just started shooting the cop like they have done. You know, that's different. So if that starts happening more often, I can understand. And, you know, that would be even more understandable, to be honest with you.
But I'm saying from the incident that happened with this random shooting in Dallas last night, taking out the lives of those who are sworn to serve and protect, does that now change the mindset of some officers to say, I've got to be more aware, and it may escalate these situations?
I don't think it should, but absolutely, I don't think it changes their mindset. I think it just now gives them justifiable more reasons to think the way they're thinking. So now they're going to think, well, I've got to be more aggressive, because that's part of police procedure. It's I forgot the technical term, but overwhelm them. So if it's a situation needs one, if you carry six officers and they can't respond, so they're going to use that as a justification for possibly more aggression or be, quote unquote, more careful to draw the gun more often in situations. But it's an excuse, and it's not a valid one in this situation.
Have you considered doing any type of seminars or workshops on this topic to inform citizens of what should be done if they come into contact with law enforcement?
I have done several seminars and even roundtables involving police officers, a couple of them, you know, how to respond and how to de-escalate the situation.
Do you have anything coming up?
No, I haven't scheduled one, but in light of what's going happening recently, especially, I will have one, and I will definitely let you know.
All right. Mm-hmm. Please let me know so that I can announce it here on What Matters Most to You, the show you're listening to now. My name is Vincent Edwards. I'm the host, the one and only Vincent T. Edwards, better known as Mr. Speaker. Talking to Attorney Knight of the Knight Law Firm, who specializes in personal injury, criminal defense, family law. What can you do now as a parent with your black son? What can you do now to calm their fears, their anxiety, to even to where they trust those in law enforcement? Because I'm seeing that there is a diminishing level of trust that's occurring right now.
And that's very difficult, especially the point you brought up, is that how do you tell them to trust somebody when they see all these incidents of violence of people that are actually doing nothing? They're doing legal activity. The main thing, though, is, and some of the shootings have come out of crime-related issues, so that cuts down that immediately. So obviously you try to, the same discussion I had with my son. I mean, you careful who you associate with. You don't put yourself in a position where police officers are going to be called to respond. You know, and of course you have to tell them there are good officers and there's some bad officers. You just try to not put yourself in those kind of positions. But if you're in that position, I mean, obviously once a gun's drawn, there's no, you know, trust or whatever issues you have, you still have to, on your own level, de-escalate that situation. And the only thing I can tell them is that we have to, especially when they each reach the age of majority, become involved, and or even become involved now. You know, I know we talk, but you still continue to protest. You don't stop it. You still continue to speak out. And I even told my son, the irony of it is, I think after one of the shootings or one of the incidences, and he goes to Leon High School, is that I went to the high school and I saw a protest, somebody carrying a placard. But it was just one person. It was a young white student there, a female student there. And I told him I was just shocked. Well, why didn't, you know, they should have been, I'm not saying that's wrong, I mean, but that should have at least gotten things going, and the black students should have been behind that whole situation. First of all, they should have been in the forefront. But I didn't see any outrage or anything like that. I encouraged him to do that, you know, to speak out, more awareness. And because some of those students are going to become police officers in the future. So if they see these things happening and they see this interaction, you can effectuate change. If it's not immediate, at least in the future. Hmm.
So this year is an election year. And I know here in Leon County, Tallahassee, we have some critical positions that are coming up on the ballot. Mm-hmm. What do you say to people?
Well, most specific to this situation is that you have an election for a sheriff. The sheriff's office is up for election, and you have the state's attorney. And these two are the two positions that are going to effectuate what's happening as far as the police officers and the crime in this situation. And I just encourage them to their candidate forums, to read up on the candidates, or their information is public. Obviously, if you're not satisfied with the situation now, then you want to change, and you vote for a change. You vote for somebody who's not part of that system right now. So you do your research and strongly support people whose positions are that they want to change the system. They want to make police officers aware. They want to make police officers accountable. They want to make sure that the judicial system, the biases are out of the system, the legal system first. And again, it starts with police officers. So I think it's very important that you look at the sheriff's race and the state's attorney's race, and you vote for people who are going to change the status quo and change what's happening now.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow, time has gotten away from us. You've been listening to What Matters Most to You. I'm your host, the one and only Vincent T. Edwards. I'm going to give you the last word. Talk about what you do at the Knight Law Firm.
Well, the Knight Law Firm, we specialize in criminal defense, personal injury, and family law. And I take pride in the fact that we are, we've been in business for over 18 years now. We put our clients first. We always strive to communicate with our clients. And we have clients that have come back family members, if they get in issues or whatever that happened. We always inform the clients of their rights and make sure that they're involved in the process. And the main thing is just making sure that they understand their rights and that we protect the rights of all our clients.
How can you be reached?
I can be reached at area code 850-513-3151, or you can go to the website at thenightlawfirm.com.
All right. Well, thank you so very much. I look forward to having you back next month, and we'll talk about some other issues. I pray for the state of our nation. You've been listening to What Matters Most to You. I'm your host, the one and only Vincent T. Edwards. Want to invite you all out to service on this Sunday at True Holiness Church of God in Christ, where I'm blessed to be the pastor. Have a guest speaker this Sunday. His name is Pastor Eric Thomas, so he will be our guest speaker on this Sunday at our 9 a.m. service. We're located at 2344 Lake Bradford Road, Unit 1. You can find us on the internet at trueholiness.org. That's trueholiness.org. And if you're not going to a church of your choice, we would love to have you this Sunday morning at 9 a.m. Until next time, remember, in all that you do, be magnificent. Until next time, be good, be blessed, but most of all, be a blessing to someone.